Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about music, more specifically R&B, rap, soul, and hip-hop music from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. Simply put, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard until right now. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Shout out to everyone listening and watching on YouTube. On this episode, I will not be doing this episode alone. We are going to have a conversation about ratchet music. Now, not particularly about ratchet music, but just how we've evolved. Because here's the thing. A lot of times, and I've heard the rumblings, a lot of times some of the people who listen to this podcast or some of our other podcasts, they say, oh, well, you guys are just old fashioned or you're just old. So, you know, we do things a little different here now that we're the younger generation. And I'm here to tell you that we probably did some of the same things that you did. And I'm not going to be on the get off my lawn tip, at least not on this episode. And as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, I have a guest. Well, she's really not a guest. She's here all the time. She hosts her own podcast, Jay's Quick Three, and she's also on ESPN, the W Channel, WNBA, Women's College Basketball. She's everywhere. It's called the J-Spot Network on YouTube. My girl Jay Boog is back in the building. Jay, what up?
What is going on? Hello, Kyle family. What's going on, 12 Kyle and Rap Soul community, whatever glad you call your listeners and watchers.
Hey, what's up? I'm just glad you could join us. You've been on the move for a minute, so you know we were able to, you know, negotiate some things and get you back in the studio.
We're good.
So I wanted to get you on because you and I and you know some of our friends, more specifically, Brent Renee from the I Can Talk About This All Day podcast. It was discovered by me a few months ago that you two in particular are fans of ratchet rap music. And it was, you know, I made the call in saying that I was surprised that Brent had a ratchet playlist, but I wasn't surprised that you had one. And right. I think you took a little offense to that. I don't know. But okay, so let's start there. Why did you take offense?
Why are you surprised by her, but you're not surprised by me?
Because, Jay, you, for as long as I've known you, you've given off this impression like that you are, like, thugged out. So, like, I expect you to be listening to, like, some Mobb Deep or The Clip, some, you know, some drug deals or something like that. I didn't expect Meg Thee Stallion to be in your playlist. So that's why. It wasn't anything disrespectful.
Okay.
So I wanted to get you on so we could chop it up a little bit about ratchet music, because here's the thing, we used to listen to ratchet music too. So I guess I'll start there with some of the music. Now full disclosure, guys, I am slightly older than Jay, just a little. My ratchetness goes a little bit further back than hers. If I'm in some of the music that I'm going to mention, if she's familiar with it, I would be surprised, because that means that she was way too young to be listening to it, right? So let's start there. When we speak of hip-hop, rap, particularly if we go back into the 90s, a lot of it was sexist. It was misogynistic. It was crass. But it jammed. So my first question to you is, Jay, like, did you ever take offense to the music that we kind of grew up listening as a woman in hip hop? Because you're a huge hip hop fan.
Not really. I mean, growing up in the 90s, like you said, that's just what it was. Like, you know, you had some of the people like Salt and Pepper, Queen Latifah, who you calling a bitch, and that type of thing, where it was a certain point in time where they were like, okay, y'all, enough. Like, we get it. Like, we understand all the girls are hoes and tricks. We get it. But prior to that, it was just music. I mean, music. We would literally be way too young on the bus listening to Doggy Style. And that whole thing is just talking about having orgies and what women need to be doing and all that stuff. We're just rapping along like, ain't nothing wrong. Like, it ain't no fun if my homie can't have that. That was the jam. So I'm like, it never was offensive until, I guess we just didn't know it was offensive until we were told. Like, for somebody like me, I don't know how old I was, teenage time or like preteen time, you don't know. Like, no one ever said anything. It was music I wasn't supposed to be listening to because my family was strict. I could only listen to the gospel. So they didn't even know I was listening to that. So there was no need to be like, hey, this isn't right, or you shouldn't be listening to it. It was just like, you can't listen to it anyway. So I didn't have anybody to be like, this, you know, they are talking about women. You're a young lady. This is mad disrespectful. You should not be also singing along to "Ain't No Fun." Your homies can't have them. Just lay back and open your mouth. Like, that's not stuff you should be, you know, singing along with. But we did until, like I said, it kind of turned to conscious rap. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we started, like, the ladies were like, you know, y'all got to start respecting us. So, yeah, I wasn't offended back then.
Okay. So now I want to go back to something you just said as far as like family being religious. So I'm assuming you had to sneak and listen to this music.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to it at school. Okay. I had like, they weren't like over my shoulder. Okay. Like, it's kind of like that story how you say your mom found an Eazy-E tape or something like that?
Eazy-E tape got me in
like,
trouble.
Like, she heard you singing it. Like, they weren't like in my room. Mm-hmm. I had it in there, but if they were to find out, yeah, I would probably, they would throw it away or make me get rid of it. But yeah, I listened to it at school. Like I said, on the bus, I had young uncles and aunts, like younger, like I'm like I said, preteen, and they might be like 22 maybe 25. Like the two babies of my dad's brothers and sisters were real young. So I would get music from them or whatever. So I didn't have to necessarily like sneak around. It was there. It was everywhere. Like, we would listen to it at school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, no, that actually makes sense. So, you weren't really supervised with it, and you had easy access to it, so to speak. Okay. So, I'm assuming your friends, I know they're the same age as you, but did they have similar experiences, or were they just able to kind of listen to it freely at home?
Yeah, they were able to. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I could do it. Like, if my grandma didn't know what was going on. So if I'm at my grandma's house, you know, I can watch the videos. I can listen to the songs. They're not really paying attention. And go to my friends' houses and stuff like that. And they could listen to whatever. Now, I'm pretty sure, like, if their parents knew they were listening to Two Live Crew, Uncle Luke and all them, they would probably be like, no, turn that off. But it wasn't like, no kid was like fully blasting it. None of my friends, at least, fully blasting it in front of their parents or anything like that.
Yeah, I think, like you said, my situation came where, and what's interesting was, even when my mom caught me listening to the Eazy-E tape, I had already been listening to 2 Live Crew way before then. So honestly, I didn't really view it as something offensive. And I knew clearly what they were talking about because I was of age. But I just, I guess for me, it was more funny than anything else. I'll share with you guys, the legendary Poison Clan. This song came out when I was in college. It starts off, open up and spread your butt cheeks. Let a nigga see them guts, freak, spread the ground, slap that ass, make it jump up and down. You got to get butt naked, but if you want my money, ho, you got to shake it. So what you gonna do? I got to save some for Madball and Uzi too. I mean,
Kyle knows word for word. That is
word
crazy.
Word for word, bar for bar.
That is crazy.
And that's all.
I ain't never heard that song.
Shake
that
what your mama gave
my
you.
Time. That was Shake What Your Mama. Yeah. Well, let me say this: I wasn't listening to 2 Live Crew. Like, I knew who they were.
Okay.
But I wasn't like, that wasn't a group that I was like,
man.
Maybe they were a little, not before my time, but I was more of the like I said, Snoop Dogg when they came out, some of NWA and stuff like that. But I never really got into Uncle Luke and in those, like, whoever else was like part of that.
Yeah, that was it. Was it was Miami bass? That's what they called
Miami
it. Bass. So, I'll be honest, I didn't like it at first, as far as, because it weren't really rapping. It was just talking trash. Talking, that's all it was. Yeah. And so, but once I started listening, I was like, man, this is funny. So, me and my boys, we would get the Two Live Crew tape, and we would listen to As Nasty As They Want to Be. I mean, of course, it had one of the most iconic album covers with them laying on the ground in between some women's legs or whatever, and they're in bikinis, and they're on a beach. And, you know, that music was banned. So once the music got, I mean, literally and figuratively was banned out of some record stores. So, you know, being young, impressionable kids, if you tell me that something's banned, that's going to make me want to listen to it even more. So my next question is that what kind of led you to listening to ratchet music, because you knew it was something that you weren't supposed to be listening to?
I don't know. I just think it was the time. It wasn't that it was banned. I mean, like I said, I couldn't listen to anything. So it didn't matter if it was, like, I might be able to get away with a little Michael Jackson, but no.
Oh, wait, you couldn't listen to Mike in your house?
Huh?
You couldn't listen to Michael Jackson?
I couldn't listen to any, what they call secular music.
Wow.
So, I mean, I could get away with some stuff. I mean, once I got older, they were just like, whatever. Right. But, you know, growing up, no. So I definitely, everything was banned. BBD, like, I couldn't listen. Like, if they heard BBD or New Edition was okay, because I think they started off as kids. So they let me listen to a little bit of New Edition. But, yeah, anything was banned for me. So it wasn't like I was like, ooh, I got to sneak and listen to this Tupac or whoever it was at that time. What was his name? Sir Mix-a-Lot. Like, that wasn't, I wasn't like.
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
So, yeah, no. Nah.
Wow.
And I was a lightweight listener. So, like, some of the stuff my uncle would be like, no. You don't need to be listening to that. Like, this is just for me. Like, I was like, oh, let me get that tape. No, you good. Here, take this one. You know, whatever. So sometimes they would try to curve me a little bit. I guess they were being responsible young adults.
So what was, I wonder, well, I mean, I guess you probably have to ask them, but I wonder what was the line, like, how far could it go? You could, like you said, listen to Michael or New Edition or, you know, but Sir Mix-a-Lot was out of the question.
Yeah, I think, I'm trying to think. I know it was some Two Live Crew.
Okay.
Because I never, like I said, once I heard them, I wasn't like, oh, I love those songs. It was just like, it was bass music. You know, everybody just danced to it. It wasn't anything. Nope. I don't even think I realized what the lyrics were. Because like you just said, I've heard Shake What Your Mama Gave You. I never knew those were the words. Because I don't think I ever really listened to them like that.
I will never forget. And then like that music. Because like I said, I wasn't a fan of Miami bass, but it really hit home once I got to college at South Carolina State University in 1991. So, you know, when you're a young adult, now it's on and popping. Now you're listening to everything. And you know from going to college, it's particularly a black college, you are exposed to even more music than ever. So when
you were at Freaknik, so they were playing that a lot over there.
Listen, Freaknik. One of my favorite memories for, and this didn't even happen at Freaknik. This was just at a party. The song by the legend Akineli, put it in your mouth.
Yeah.
The song comes on, Jay, and the DJ cuts the record off, and every girl is singing it word for word, bar for bar. I have never seen anything like that in my life, and I had so much fun at that party. So much fun. And that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
I wasn't married at the time.
Yeah, that was a wild times though. It was. We would I don't know what it was about us just willingly like singing stuff like that. Just proud to be singing about that.
And you know what actually one of the things that started or at least triggered this idea for this podcast episode was maybe about a month or so ago, there was a quote unquote challenge on like TikTok or Instagram. It may have been both. I think I saw it on Instagram. And the challenge was these women who were mothers. And they were playing, and it was like it, the caption said, me listening to the music that I listened to when I was a teenager and playing it for my kids. And every woman.
Oh, I've seen one of those.
Yeah, they played It Ain't No Fun If the Homies Can't Have None. And the kids, and I'll send you a clip of it. The kids' reaction was priceless. Like, these kids were bugging out, like, I can't believe my mom is listening to this. And like a couple of kids just like literally walked, because it's all being filmed. A couple mm-hmm. of kids just literally walked off camera like, no, I can't believe this. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have any kids, Jay, but what do you think your, I don't know if you have any nieces or nephews, would say, what some young people would say if they knew that the refined 35-plus Jay Boog listened to this music when she was in high school or at Prairie View A&M University?
I don't know. They so much stuff. I don't know. They probably would be like, because I think they don't think that things, it's so funny now, right? Mm-hmm. Being this age that yeah. they think like 1999 was like, you know, ancient times or whatever. Right. Like, you used to, what is that? Oh, that was called a phone. What a, like not a cell phone. What is that thing on the wall? Like, so back in your day, who was the president? Was it Abraham Lincoln? Like, they just do stupid, you know, they don't have no concept of time. None. Or back in slavery. Do you think I was a slave? Like, what do you mean? Come on. I don't know nothing about that. But they just don't have any concept of, like, what it was. Like, they feel like it's so far away. So they are always shocked about, like, yeah, we had songs that talked about like Meg the Stallion was not new to us, right. Or the style of Meg the Stallion, the style of a Cardi B. We had Lil' Kim. We had people before that.
Yes.
That either sang or rapped that. So yeah, it's just funny. So they're always seem to be shocked about something like mm-hmm. from back in those times. So if they heard those, I saw one clip where a lady was playing a song and her daughter was like, first, her daughter wasn't paying attention. She was like reading a book or looking at something, and then they started cussing and stuff. And she like mm-hmm. looked up, and she was like, "What?" And she was like looking at her like, "You used to listen to this, like,
right?"
What? So, they would probably have the same reaction if I ever played that. For like my niece, she's like, she's about to be 20.
Okay,
but she would probably be somebody that's like shocked, like, y'all really had stuff like that? Like, girl, it wasn't Little House on the Prairie, like,
right? And that's the thing, like, my kids are like that now. I try my best not to play that music for my kids. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they know that the music exists, and they know mm-hmm. that, you know. And it's funny because my daughter Skylar, she's 13, she saw a picture of me in my high school yearbook. Mm-hmm. And it was my senior year, and the pictures were color. And she said, "Oh, I didn't know you took colored pictures."
Yes.
I'm like, "What you mean? What you mean? We always took colored pictures." Right. She's like, "Well, in the other book, your pictures were black and white. I just thought you guys just took black and white. Like we were totally incapable of producing colored pictures." Mm-hmm. And so, like, when I hear stuff like that, sometimes that stuff reminds me that they live in a totally different world than we did. But now, as the we moved on from the 80s into the 90s. This is when it got a little bit more ratchet. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, initially we had the likes of, as far as rap was concerned, we had Queen Latifah, we had Moni Love, we had MC Light, you know, Powerful Sisters, you know. And then right around the mid-90s, we started getting a little funky. Now, we did have, full disclosure, we did have Hoes with Attitude. Mm-hmm. I think that was like 93 or 94, but nobody really paid attention to them.
Yeah, I remember them.
I think I heard one song from them.
I think that's all they had. Yeah, I don't remember the song, but I don't remember them being around a long time.
Yeah, they weren't around too long. And then we moved into the mid-90s where, you know, you got introduced to Foxy Brown and Lil' Kim. Now, Lil' Kim was probably a little bit more dirty. I mean, Foxy always gets lumped in with Lil' Kim, and I get it why, but, like, I think Kim with, you know, songs like Queen Bitch and the other songs that she had, like she was a little bit more dirty and grimy.
Not
and
tonight.
Of course she had the ill poster that every boy had at South Carolina State University on their dorm wall. So what did you think about when the game flipped? Because they got a lot of pushback, both Foxy and Kim. They got a lot of pushback for their lyrics. What did you think about that back then, or even now?
I think that's like I said, when we were starting to take the turn for like women being like equal as far as like in the industry and stuff like that, and being respected, and people weren't ready for, even though we had artists like that, they weren't quite ready for a rapper like Kim, or rappers like Kim, that like, I'm going to talk about my body. You already had spent a decade talking about my body and what you're going to do to it. Now I'm going to tell you what about my body and whatever. Like, I'm going to be just as explicit. And so in some terms, it became like empowering in the music world to be able to be so open and you know, stand out and say, like, even though it's raunchy, it's like you're kind of taking your power back, because you've been like the hoe the whole time. You know what I'm saying? That's all they were, bitches and hoes. You know, bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. Hoes and like tricks. That whole thing, right? That was all that was. So then you have like, it's kind of funny to think of it as like liberation, but it's kind of like, let these women speak about their bodies. Like you have, you know, you have so many different styles of rappers and women that talk about different things, but it was met with a lot of backlash. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, y'all can talk about us, but if we say something, then it's like, you're used, you're washed up, nobody's going to want you, you're not being presentable, this is not ladylike, how dare you come across, yeah, how dare you come across. Like, it was like a tussle during that time. It took a while, because it was a lot happening in hip-hop around that time. Like, I know before that, like the whole parental advisory, the gangster rap trying to get that banned. And then you have right after that, like the women are coming out and they're speaking and stuff like that. So it was kind of like a lot of artists forcing their way through whatever side that was, whether to be accepted in the music industry, period, whether to be accepted as a genre of music that, you know, they would say like rap was destroying kids or making them do violent acts, but then the heavy metal biting bats' heads off was not violent. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't. It was really.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah, right. It was just a lot of like battling to like find your space. Like, I really feel like black music itself, no matter where it was coming from, especially rap, whether it was male or female, was like battling in its way through. And so it was kind of just like the way of the world, like. Yeah. Finally, when they made their spot, now it's time for the women to try to make their way. So it was kind of cool to see. I mean, and like the women like that. Like, we're like, okay, now we get to talk our talk. You know what I'm saying? It was a pretty cool. I enjoyed. I didn't really listen to Foxy too much. She was more commercial to me.
I'm not surprised.
I don't know what it was about Kim. Something. I mean, I had her first three albums. Like,
really?
Yeah. I love me some.
I never bought a Lil Kim. I had Foxy's first album. I never bought a Lil Kim album.
Well, I got the first two from Columbia House.
Fair. A penny. Columbia House. For a penny. So, and never paid them.
Never did. I got a lot of CDs in that man, way. But listen,
that was the hustle right there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't listen to that much Foxy. And I wasn't like I was a rap fan, but I wasn't a huge rap fan. You know, I was more into R&B and stuff like that. So the little that I did listen to, and then anything commercial, of course, like if it was like a hot track or something like that, I would hear it from artists. But yeah, I loved some Lil Kim.
Well, definitely like I said, I was older than you, but I know by the time you got to college, on a black college campus, you had to hear the ratchetness and the music that was being played at any party you went to.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not from Detroit. I'm from Michigan, but I went to school with a lot of Detroit people, and you know, the music that we had that they jit to, that's the dance that they do. I don't know if they do it anymore, but in college, we were listening to Scrub the Ground. Like, it would be like those type of songs. Let them hoes fight. Scrub the Ground.
There's some hoes in this house.
That's the one. There's some hoes in this, and we just be out there just getting down dancing.
Song. I love it.
Yes. So we had all kind of mixes and stuff like that, and that was what we danced to. Like, we would have house parties all the time. So yeah, I definitely heard my fair share.
Wow.
So, I might still have a mixtape if I can find it. That'll be funny. I don't have anything to play it on.
I'm sure. Well, yeah, you're right. Unless you got a CD.
No, it's a tape. I might be able to go to Goodwill. Maybe they might have something like that.
Yeah, I was about to say, any tapes I got, I don't even know where I could play them because, you know, that's like having an 8-track at this point. Right. So when the music, you know, started to move even further. If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast, hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes. For the long women, like you said, they were empowered. And we saw the reaction in full time, in real time, as to how women reacted to Foxy and Lil' Kim, and then there were others, maybe some that weren't as ratchet. And then we fast forward into, you know, today's time, over the last five, 10 years, where you have artists like Meg Thee Stallion, Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, and then Glorilla, as well as, Sexy Red, all of these young ladies who are, who have done different things and presented different levels of music. But it's still been some pushback from mostly men as to why the music looks or sounds or feels a certain way that it does. And I remember distinctly, Jermaine Dupri, said that, you know, rap was being dominated by stripper music, and he ruffled a lot of feathers about it. When you hear stuff like that, what does that make you think, considering where we came from to where we are now?
It's funny because they helped create that. Like, it wasn't like stripper music is because you were in the strip club throwing dollars, and that's the music that's popular. That was an era in itself. Like, music was put. Now, I didn't spend no time in strip clubs, but I heard this from a DJ. So you would know what's a hot track because you would play it at the strip club. Well, mostly men are there. I mean, women are there too. Mostly men are there, but the songs that really get people to throw them dollars and get that money going, that's a hot track. We need to put this one out or whatever. So they would test music like that. So if it's stripper music that's popular, JD, that's because you were dropping them bands in there. I just thought that was kind of like very off color. And for him to, he didn't make clean music. I mean, no. So for him to kind of like say like it's just stripper music, like everybody deserves a, whether it's stripper music or not, like everybody deserves to have to, you know, represent themselves or express themselves in a way that they want to musically. And if you don't like it, that's just not your thing. But I think they were more upset that women were dominating, because Nicki was dominated for a very long time. And then after Nicki, then Cardi comes up, and after Cardi, then it's Meg, and then after Meg, then it's whoever, Sexy Red, Big Lotto, all these other artists. And it's kind of like, where are the men at? The men are getting drowned out. And that's what they were upset about, because the women were dominating. It's just another wave of empowerment, because for a while it was a lot of men, Wayne, Future, Drake, whatever else, because I really wasn't listening to rap like that, just the mainstream people out here or whatever. But for the women to come out, and again, Meg, who can really rap, but she twerks, like, y'all, you see them cheeks a lot. And so they tried to, like, kind of downplay her skill and just, you know, call her, you know, for what they think she is, and Cardi being an ex-dancer and stuff like that. So I think it's just another way of them pushing through, kind of breaking that cycle. It's always a cycle. You know what I'm saying? It just shows up in different ways.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm not a fan of Dupri's anyway, so it's easy for him to say something for me not to like. But I thought that was irresponsible on his part, because like you said, particularly here in Atlanta where I live, a lot of times for the last 20 plus years, music, that's where the music gets started at. The days of taking your music to the local radio station, those days are long gone. What they would do is they would take a hot record and they would test it to see if, you know, how hot your record was. They play it in the strip club. I distinctly remember going to, me and one of my homeboys, we went to Club Strokers one night, and I only went to Strokers because he was in town and he was like, he wanted to go to strip club. I was like, all right, cool, we'll do it. And so we went. And
the strip club is called Strokers?
Yeah. Strokers. You never heard of Strokers?
Never.
Oh, Jay, you got
it. I've only heard of Magic. It was Magic City, right?
Magic City. Yeah, Magic City is downtown.
That's the only thing I've heard of.
Strokers is just outside of the perimeter. Getting tongue. It's a good time. I've always had a good time in it. And so so we go to Strokers, and the DJ plays this song called Icy by Gucci Mane and Jeezy. I'd never heard this song before in my life. But when the DJ played it the first time, all of the dancers got turned up. I mean, like, the level of the club just really went up. And so he plays it probably about 10:30, right? About 2 hours later, we're getting ready to leave. He plays it again, and the club really get turned up. So we were literally about to walk out the door, and it got more turned up. So we was like, well, let's sit down and let's get another drink. So he sat down and got another drink, and then he played it again at 1 o'clock. And by that, I mean, and by this time, every dancer knows the song word for word. They know the hook, they know everything. And I'm like, this song ain't even out yet. Like, we don't even, so how do they even know it? And so, like, that was the test. So it was the barometer for which they measured how hot a record was. And so, you know, Jermaine Dupri, somebody who was, you know, popular and very well known and connected in the city, music-wise particularly, you know, for him to say something like that, you know that that's where the music gets started at. Like, he may not have to take his records to the strip club, but the street records, people who are trying to get this stuff out on the streets, that's where they start. It starts, and something that's going to, you know, make people turn up, is definitely going to the strip club first. So if you got a hot Megan Thee Stallion record, you're taking it to the strip club. You're not taking it, because here's the thing, it probably can't get played on radio initially until you clean it. So if it's not clean initially, it ain't gonna get no play there anyway. So you started off in Magic City and let it jam there, and then people pick onto it, and it kind of goes from there. So I think I agree with you. I think it was very irresponsible. I think you know, the ladies have fought hard. Now, I will say this. I'm not a fan. I did enjoy WAP. I thought WAP was crazy. The fact that WAP got played on the radio was wild to me. And I don't even listen to the radio. But to hear WAP, to hear it get played, even the edited version, I'm like, y'all can play this on the radio? But I will say this much. You know, it did a lot for Meg, and it did a lot for Cardi. And Cardi is someone, like you said, a former dancer who, you know, I think she's just now about to drop her second album, and she's been out for damn near 10 years. And so, you know, she's had guest features, but she's managed to keep herself in the public with her marriage or subsequent divorce. I don't know what she's doing personally, but I mean, like, she's got a lot of different things going on. And, you know, these women are getting to it. For as much as I can say I don't like any Sexy Red's music, I don't have to listen to it, though. But I'm not going to, and I know the music's not for me. So, but she does she have a lane? Yeah, she has a lane. And I think you have to kind of, for the people who enjoy that kind of music, you got to let them cook, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't listen to all of it. Like, literally, I got turned on to it by my younger friends, because I didn't know who Meg Thee Stallion was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't discover her until, I think she had already been out. She hadn't dropped her first album yet, but she used to do a lot of mixtapes and stuff like that. And one of my friends was like, oh, we got to turn on that Big Old Freak. And I was like, what is that? And she was like, you haven't heard, you don't know who Meg Thee Stallion? I was like, no, what is this? And she played it. And I was like, oh, okay, I kind of like this song. It was like two Meg songs that I really liked. And then over the time, I would listen to her. Same thing with Cardi, like the Bodak Yellow was the the big thing. So I would listen to that. I don't listen to a bunch of it, but, you know, being auntie status now, you know, you would hear people say, like, I can't believe, you know, young women are listening to that or doing that. But I'm like, girl, like, you know where we came from. Like, this may not be for me anymore, because I'm kind of, you know, I'll listen to it to hype myself up, but that's not the first thing I go to all the time, you know? But I can't fault, you know, my friends that are 22 or whatever, or even younger, like my niece's age, if that's what they turn up to. We were listening to worse.
We were.
I can't even be mad at them. I may not like it. And some of the stuff I'm like, oh my goodness, this is every other word. Can we get some just a regular word in there? Just a little bit? Like, what are we talking about?
Listen, I literally listened to Doggy Style yesterday. And I was like, okay. I listened to The Chronic first, and then I listened to Doggy Style, both of them, yesterday. Mm-hmm. And even listening to The Chronic, I was like, none of it's cringe, but it's just like, oh, we used to jam to this. And even like, and one of the things that we used to have a lot in the 90s was almost every rapper had like some type of sex interlude on their album.
Oh, the way they used to moan and groan, Janet. I was listening to this as a young kid, falling asleep to her, having an orgasm. Like, what is that? Like, why would you?
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. Yes. Y'all talked to you and Britt talked about it on the episode. Mm-hmm. There's a Janet, and then there's a nasty Janet.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, and the thing is, if you don't listen to her music, if you just listen to the hits, you may not even know that song.
It's in between the songs. Jodeci was the same way. I mean, pretty much like you said, a lot of songs, a lot of albums. Like, if you listen to them all the way through, they somehow they always had some kind of sex interlude. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm listening to The Chronic. I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear this. You know, like, I had to skip through it. And like, but, you know, but when I was in, it came out in 92, I was in college. So I was listening to, okay, yeah, that's cool. You know, but my thing is like, you know, as a 52-year-old, you know, I'm like, I'll skip to the next song, you know, like, so it has its place, I guess. But no, we did used to listen to, you know, some ratchet music. And so we can't necessarily stand on a hill and criticize the young folks for doing what they do, because, you know, we used to do the same thing. We were young once.
Yeah. It's so crazy to be on this side.
I know.
Sometimes I'm like, what? Am I the auntie now? Wait
you
a minute.
The auntie.
When did that happen?
it just does. Like, I went in a barbershop maybe about a month or so ago, and I had some new Jordans on. And this dude was sitting by the door, and I was walking out. He was like, he said something. I was like, huh? I didn't know he was talking to me. He's like, yo, he's like, Unc, I like those shoes right there, man. Unc. I was like, appreciate it. And then when I got in the car, I was like, he called me Unc. Wow. Like, wow. Unc.
That's that reality sitting in.
I mean, you know, it's better, you know, I tell people all the time, it's better to be seen than viewed. So as long as we keep being seen, we'll be okay. One last question before we get out of here.
Okay.
So as the music has evolved, and as these artists have evolved, and as we have evolved, do you think that the music is going to get either more ratchet, or do you think it's pretty much peaked where it's going to be right now?
I don't know if it can peak. Like I said, it's just everything is a cycle. Like what we went through in the 90s, they're, you know, just capturing that again now, but it's going to be a time. I think usually every genre, or whatever, has its moment. So right now we're in where women, I think they were showing that last year or something, all women were in the top 20 songs or something like that. Like, there was no men anywhere around as far as like selling artists and stuff like that. So, I think now is the time for the women. I mean, they can have some sort of longevity, but I mean, it's going to be another 20 years or so. There's going to be another uprising of, I mean, I don't know how much more you can do. I mean, you can only, we only have so many body parts you can talk about. So
You can start talking about fetishes and toes and stuff like that.
They do though.
Oh, do they? I don't
know. Yeah. I've heard, in the 90s. Yeah. I won't listen to all the way through, but I've heard some stuff and I'm just like, oh.
And you do have a playlist too.
Well, yeah, but that was I have the fun playlist. I ain't got nothing that's too crazy.
So what's fun on your playlist? Give me a song that's fun.
Like my Lottos, like let me look. I got
give me a Lotto song, because I promise you I don't know any Lotto
songs. She has a song with Gucci Man. What is the name of that song? Moo-wop. I like that one. Moo-wop? I like it's Moo-wop.
Spell that?
Let me look it up.
Yeah, look it up.
Because I think he has a song called Goo-wop or something.
Oh, okay, Guap.
But she like calls that. It Moo-wop.
Okay.
Like, I guess it's because it's with her. Let me see.
Okay.
Lotto. Yeah, Moo-wop. but that is given by Lotto. I mean, Big Ol' Freak is a classic. It's a platinum classic in my household.
Do you have any Flo Milli? She's from Mobile, Alabama.
I know you keep saying that. I don't really listen to her too much. I think she probably has a song that I've heard before.
Okay.
But it's just mainly some Remy Ma is not really ratchet, but she has some features with some people. Mm-hmm. That's kind of ratchet. Of course, Trina. We can't forget Trina. Trina's back in the day.
About the baddest.
Yeah. That was another era of, yes, you know, that you just had Lil' Kim ruling the East Coast, mm-hmm. them and Foxy, but then she came up from Miami like, okay, mm-hmm. I got something to say. So Trina was up there too. I stick to Meg, Cardi, Lotto, and then some of them I don't know the names of. It's just...
What about Glorilla? You on Glorilla?
I like a couple of Glorilla's songs. Okay. Yeah, she's done songs with Meg and Cardi. Like, they all have done songs together. Not too much on Saweetie. Because I don't like her cadence of the way she raps.
City Girls, right?
I do. I don't.
I'm saying she's a member of the City Girls, right?
No. Is she? No. City Girls is JT and Carisha. Carisha's not, that's her real name. What is her stage name?
I don't know.
She don't like people calling her Carisha, but it's out now. Young Miami.
Okay.
So JT, Young Miami. They're not together anymore. But yes, some City Girls mix in there.
Never mind. I was about to ask
Sweetie. I don't know where she came from.
I know who she is, but I don't know who she's with.
She ain't with nobody.
Okay.
I
thought she was in a group or something.
She's a West Coast girl. She's done music with all the other rap girls before. But yeah, I'll just mix in some of that. It's fun. And then, you know, I also put my little Kim in there.
Got to.
I still mix that in with that too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I don't. I don't have a ratchet playlist, but you know,
You do have a male version of that.
Well, it's just rap. Like, it ain't, you know, it ain't a bunch of whole talking. But I mean, I got a lot of drug references. Like, there's some Kingpin stuff. There's some gang banging stuff. I think that's probably about as ratchet as I get at this point in my life.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
What do you think, since you been around for a while? Mm-hmm. What is the dirtiest song you think that has come out? Has it been by Luke?
Oh, no doubt. Pop That Pussy.
Yeah.
Easy. I mean, like, that song, and Jay, I think I had to be in middle school. So I was like seventh, eighth grade. Like, mm-hmm. so I was at that stage where I was, and this music became, it wasn't as available as, you know, music is now, where you can just press a button, but like, I could get my hands on it. And me and my buddies, we just had tapes, so we would pass around tapes. And so when I heard Luke rapping like that, I just thought that was so funny, because like, you never heard nobody cuss like that. You're like, you heard people say shit, damn, or fuck, or whatever like that, but never like this. And I mean, like, some of the skits and stuff. And again, it was dirty. It was sexist. It was misogynistic. It was sometimes violent because, you know, they didn't necessarily talk about, you know, having sex consensually sometimes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it was very cringeworthy. But that shit jammed. So, you know, as a young 13-year-old boy, I probably had no business listening to it. But, you know, it kind of helped form where I was in hip-hop at the time and where I would go. So, but by far, to answer the question, yeah, Luke is the king of dirty. So, mm-hmm. And honestly, and I said this before, and I said it on a podcast that I did about a year or so ago, I don't think Luke gets the props that he should have gotten for the doors that he opened. I mean, you can say what you want about, but they fought the battle, like you said, as far as like getting the parental sticker on the mm-hmm. on the album. And for him, it was about freedom of speech. And technically, you do have, I mean, freedom of speech ain't free, but I mean, like from an artistic perspective, he fought to get his records on shelves, and they were on shelves, and people, like, there was a point in time where even at 15, I could not go buy a Luke record. I had to, somebody 18 or older, it was almost like going into an R-rated movie. Like, you couldn't mm-hmm. go in there by yourself. Somebody had to go get it for you. Or there was a point where record stores faced prosecution. They faced getting arrested or losing their business if they sold to minors. So, and there were some people that got jammed up by that, you know, some sting operations. So, but yeah, by far, Luke, definitely the nastiest. He goes down as the king of smut, and I love him. I love him. So, you know, he opened the door for the Megs and the Cardi B's and everything. And for as much as, you know, and I think for some, not all, but for some people, particularly around my age or older, for some of us who grew up on Luke or listened to that music, for them to turn around and be very, you know, hypocritical towards the Megs and the Cardis and the Sexy Reds, regardless of whether or not you like the music or not, come on, man. Understand
that. It's crazy.
We had the same thing. It mm-hmm. was, the only difference is Luke said it, and now, you know, Sexy Red is saying it. Now, do I want to hear Sexy Red? No, I don't. But I have the option of turning it off. So, mm-hmm. and I think people get confused because they say, well, this is all what's on the radio. Well, if it's on the radio, somebody's requesting it, and you always have the power to turn it off. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to hear it, but at the same time, I understand too, just like, you know, even having children, I can't, at this point, you can't hide it from them. So, you know, because if I say, hey, you can't listen to it, now, do I want to hear you listening to it? No, I don't want to hear you listening to it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I will sit down, particularly even like with my daughter, with her being 13, you know, and this is a conversation we've had, you know, a couple of conversations. Like, I'm like, okay, well, what you listening to? And like, she'll tell me. And like, one time she said something about, I think she said something about Meg or something. She was telling me about some song, and I heard the song, but it was a clean song. I was like, mm-hmm. But I mean, but I also understand too, like you said, you go to school, you with your friends. And I mean, now it's, they could find music on TikTok. Like, so there's no way you can ban or say you can't listen to this in 2025. That's not happening. The kids have, they have it at their fingertips. So you'd be foolish to try to stop them from listening to it. The only thing you can do is talk to them and kind of educate them. And say like, hey, this is why they're saying this. This is a level of entertainment for those who want to be entertained like this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's what we saw it as. So I didn't think Luke was serious. I didn't think Luke did half the stuff that he said he did. But, you know, he came out on stage with the Luke dancers and we loved it. So well, before we get you out of here, Jay, tell folks where they can find you in the podcast.
Well, you can find me on the YouTube at JSpot Network, and just type in youtube.com/JSpot Network. That'll take you to my page. My podcast is on a sabbatical right now, but I think I came up. I think I came up with a name today. I was thinking, and I was like, oh, I can name it that. I'll let you know off air. See how you feel,
Jay,
about it.
You've literally been saying this for the last 4 months.
No, and I've been trying. I'm like, that don't sound right. That don't sound right. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So I think I came up with a name today. But regardless, I need to have time to actually do it. So I don't know when episodes will come out. But the reason why I do YouTube, because I just turn it on, is there. It's already recorded. I ain't got to worry about edits. Whatever mistakes I make, and then I go about my business. But you can find me there. I talk mainly, I have a lot of different things on my YouTube. I do music entertainment. I have some of my podcast episodes on there from the Jay's Quick 3 podcast, but mostly I talk women's sports. Right now I'm covering the WNBA, and I do a weekly show called Jay Spot Live, where I recap the week of whatever it is we're in. So right now it's WNBA, but if it's college, I'll talk about what happened during mainly my teams that I cover, because it's too many college teams to go through. But yeah, I just do that. And you can, I am on Twitter and TikTok at Jay's Quick 3 Pod. But I'm getting ready to, like, since I'm not really doing Jay's Quick 3, I'm kind of trying to switch my names to be just Jay Spot Network. So, but you can find me on Twitter and all that. If you go to my YouTube, go to the homepage, all my social media is there. You can just click on it and go. But yeah.
And who, thanks for having me. Who's your favorite WNBA player?
Asia Wilson. This lady back here. Right here.
And who's your second favorite WNBA player?
The lady that's right next to her, Angel Reese.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
I couldn't really see.
Those are my peoples.
I had to ask. Well, you guys know where to find me. If you don't, too bad. Of course, the 12 Kyle podcast is all over the place, but this is the Rap Soul podcast. The Rap Soul podcast drops new episodes every Friday and every Monday. We also drop new episodes on the 12 Kyle podcast, which is the flagship station, every Thursday and every Sunday at midnight. You can catch me on YouTube. You can find me on social media at 12 Kyle. Rap Soul podcast, 12 Kyle podcast, wherever you are on social media. And if you'd like to contribute to the show financially, hit us up on Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Again, that's going to do it for us. We used to listen to ratchet music. One of us still does. So for my girl Jay, I am your boy 12 Kyle. We'll catch you next time. 5,000.
Peace. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.